So after what would probably be called by most people a disappointing start to the current season, the 2023 season, news dropped earlier today that Coach Richard Chaplow is no longer around. And we're gonna have to talk about that, right? I don't know who was shocked, who surprised, who didn't see this coming. I'm sure some of us did. We'll get into that. Plus, we'll talk more. We got some old friends joining us. Let's get into this. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at OCSC underscore SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Let's run through the gauntlet of who we've got helping discuss all this today. Hey, maybe with a working mic now, this is Mr. Dylan. Dylan, how are we doing?
We can only hope that this is working.
Still very, very low volume.
We're going to bump it up and we're going to shout into this thing and hope that that's good enough. But
just shout to it, yes. As I'm opening up a 2 liter of soda because I need something to drink. So if you heard a hissing noise, that's what that was. Dylan doesn't like that. Who else do we have here today? Oh, look at this. If we can remember, I think we'll all remember this guy. The original bearded member of our podcast, Mr. Allen. Allen, long time no see. How you doing? Wish Good. We could have you back here on better circumstances as far as the club is related.
Yeah, I was looking forward to talking about a very interesting Southern California matchup, and news broke this morning and it got even more interesting for both sides of the competition coming up Saturday. But you know, I told you guys I'd stop by, say hi. I did put in for a media credential this weekend, so I'm hoping to make the trip up to see Orange County in person.
Nice. We look forward to seeing you if you can make it up there. Let's go to the man up in Vegas. What was that? I don't know what that was, but hey, let's go to him. That's Brad. Brad, how are things with you?
I'm doing well. Just planning a trip up to Reno to grab our stuff because the girlfriend and I just signed a lease on an apartment today.
Ooh. Moving on up to Vegas? I don't know. Is that what you would consider that?
I mean, I've been here since November, but now we're finally creating our own space down here.
There you go. And one more name we got to bring onto this show. That's the newer bearded member of the podcast. That's Mr. Larry. Larry, what's happening with y'all?
Let's just remember that oftentimes newer is better.
Is that so? So you're saying I should get an Xbox Series X instead of an Xbox original?
Well, for starters, why would you even have an Xbox? And I don't know where.
Oh, because it's the better machine. Okay, but we're not here to talk about video games.
But Dylan, with the hair pulled back like that, is looking very Christian Bale today, and he's got a halo behind him. So I'm waiting for the angels to sing.
All right. So obviously, we were planning on doing sort of a normal show, talk about the loss this weekend to New Mexico, talk about the upcoming match against San Diego. Hey, even talking about a Timbers loss, right? Because that's happened since our last show. But early today, news broke. We were all sort of just like, I think our social medias all blew up. I know on our Discord chat, we were all back and forth. I know the Counterlock Coalition Discord chat was on fire this morning. After a disappointing start to the season, and probably what would be considered disappointing 2022, Richard Chaplow is gone. The funny thing is, I'll be excited once we get Dylan back on here, because I know Dylan started looking up statistics between Richard Chaplow and the previous coach that was terminated, and that was Coach Braden Cloutier. There's a lot of similarities between that and what's going on now, including the first opponent as with the replacement coach. San Diego. I'll ask you first, Alan. How did that go last time?
I cannot recall. I think there was a new coach bump that maybe coincided with just a good run of form that maybe Chaplo got a little bit too much credit for. But yeah, it's going to be, that's what makes it interesting, right? Like, you're now playing against a familiar foe with maybe a new system, which throws a wrinkle into the match. But I think it makes it just one more intriguing storyline to connect the two former Orange County soccer coaches.
I doubt there's going to be this full implementation of a new system. Anyone that watches a show, maybe like Ted Lasso, will probably realize you can't really switch tactics mid-season and have much success. But let's go to you, Dylan, because Dylan's got his hand up.
Yeah, I'm just a little curious. You say you can't switch systems in the middle of a season, but that's exactly what Orange County did when Richard Chaplo took over, as we went from this expansive ball on the ground prettiness to whatever the opposite of that is, very much 90s English garbage play, which was super effective because no one knew. Suddenly all the scouting for 2.5 years on Orange County was garbage, and it worked well, and then it stopped working well. So maybe Ted Lasso is not the, I mean, I certainly hope that our coaching staff has a little more knowledge than the mustached man, the mustachioed man from Kansas. Is he from Kansas? I don't know. I feel like I pay so little attention to the show that I've done a bad job here. But I think we can change systems. And I think some of the players that we have, Milan Oloski, Bryce Jamison, you know, these kinds of players that are actually technically good would probably do well. And I think our back line will probably benefit from us holding the ball more than 40% a game and just launching it forward.
Well, it worked because you had Ronaldo Damas on the end, who could do amazing things and was very, very good at doing amazing things on the end of those route one. Not sure you have the same type of player in a Ronaldo Damas, and as exciting and probably under-scouted as he was, even though he played for North Texas and was a Golden Boot, I think it was even surprising how effective he was in that role.
Let me ask you, because I know, Dylan, you started looking up a bunch of stuff. You're like, ooh, I can look at these similarities. I can look at stuff. I want to ask you, because you pulled up the numbers, you shared them with a lot of people. Were you at all surprised that the numbers were actually pretty close when you look at like wins, losses, draws for like their final 10 matches? I know the goal differentials were a little bit different, especially the goals allowed. But were you shocked when you saw like some very close similarities between the final 10 matches of Coach Brent Cloutier and the final 10 games of Coach Richard Chaplo?
Yeah, quite a bit. For those unfamiliar, the final 10, before both managers got the sack, 2 wins, 5 losses, 3 draws, I think. Maybe 5 draws, 3 losses. I'm not sure how the order of that one went. The goal difference was not too far off either. Cloutier's final 10 matches, 12 goals for, 16 against. Chaplo's final 10 league matches, 11 goals for, 17 against. And I don't know if you count one of those goals for, since it was technically an own goal. I'm kidding. It does obviously count, but... yeah, I think looking at 10 games as a sample size is generally what the club does to gauge, or what people should do to gauge kind of how form is going. And it looks similar to how it was. What we don't see by looking at 10 games is the overall points per game, which I think really says a lot about the two. Cloutier averaged 1.61 points per game. Chaplo averaged 1.11 points per game. Actually slightly lower than that, because that's not counting for the New Mexico match. So there's a bit of that. Like, Chaplo was a less successful manager, save for a 8-ish match run at the very end of a season, which was massive and very important. And yes, he deserved a leash because of it. But if we look at the general lack of performance, I mean, almost half a point less per match over half the sample size as well. Still well over a season. Not great. And if we look at the actual eye test of what is going on the field, it is poor. Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds always got credit for. You know what they're going to do. They're going to run hard. They're going to try and hit you on the counter, and they have one game plan. That's kind of what it was under Clotier, is we were very aggressive, and we tried to just score as many goals. And so sometimes we beat teams 6-1. Sometimes we beat teams 4-3 when we were up 3-0 at the half, and other times we would lose 3-0, as opposed to losing games 2-0, 1-0, 3-2, stuff like that. So it's not ideal, and it's a weird time for me, which I think is something we'll bring up in a minute, but it is a weird time to be eight league matches into the season, 10 if you count the cup, and to now make a decision to let Chaplow go.
I want to go to you, Larry, because I think over the last couple weeks, your frustration had begun showing. I know you were very vocal on the discords about your displeasure of the way the team performed, especially this past weekend against New Mexico. I agree with Dylan. It's pretty early in the season for this type of move, but I'm going to assume that you're on board with this move at this point, the way the season had gone, or are you a little disappointed to lose Chaplow at this point?
When you couple it with the results that we had, that the team had last season, there's not a lot of positives outside of number seven to be found, dating back to November 28th of 2021. There hasn't been a lot to be happy about since that day. Speaking with Andy before we came on, and I had said this to some people that I know a couple of days ago, that if we don't get a result this weekend in New Mexico and we don't get a result against San Diego, there's something like this was going to happen. And it happened a week earlier than what I felt that than when I felt it was going to happen. It's unfortunate. It is sad. You do not want to, some clown on Twitter, when the club announced it, did the whole praying hands and said, thank God. And of course, my response to that is, I don't think God wants people to lose their livelihood. And nobody wants to see that. And Chaplow has been a part of this team for, God, I don't even know how many years now, since 2016, 2017. He is an integral part of this team and this organization for a lot of years. And it's hard to see that. You know, he has become part of the Orange County Soccer Club family. And when you're there for so long, and it's not like he retiring, going off in the sunset and hanging up, not just hanging up his playing boots, but hanging up his coaching boots. And he's, you know, the guy's only 38 years old, and now he has to go out and find another job. And that's hard. And I've been there. And it sucks to see it happen, but a change had to come. The team could not keep performing like this and just expect everybody to, you know, say, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I was looking at things through rose-colored glasses last year when I started writing for the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and then joining the podcast and saying, hey, you know what? We're at a point right now. How did it get here? How do we make it better? There's still hope. And I kept up with that. And then going into the start of this season, you know, hope again. And the start has just been so abysmal, worse than through eight games last year, that there's no choice but to that he has to be relieved of his duties. And I'm sad for it, but I hope that it helps the team to go in a different direction, start seeing some results. Let's start with San Diego on Saturday, and, you know, smash Allen and me laughing and pointing fingers at him while we're standing on the sideline together.
I guess it would be nice if they get their first win against San Diego, and if Allen's there as well, we can sort of – maybe Allen's the good luck charm for Orange County if he shows up and they win there. I think you were at the last game where we had our first game with a new coach down in San Diego probably. So maybe you're a good luck charm when we do coaching changes, Allen.
It's possible. I mean, to speak to how much Chaplow has meant to this organization, like when I first started, there was like shirts and stuff that were like RFC, and I was like, what is that, right? Like, he was such a big component of that early team when I first showed up, that like he already had shirts and hats and signs, and people were, you know, singing about him and chanting about him. And it is sad to see it happen. I mean, I think with the West right now, you know, El Paso's playing better than they were last year. Monterey is playing well. Phoenix looks like they might be kind of starting to figure some stuff out. New Mexico's, you know, some of that stuff starting to click for them too. And all of a sudden you're looking at a very strong Western Conference with, you know, Vegas and RGV kind of being the weaker links, and you don't want to be the bottom four because you're out of the playoffs. And looking up at some of these teams that you thought would be bad, like maybe a Switchbacks, so you didn't think were going to be as good, are doing really well. I think now is the time you make the choice. You have a week at home, so you can kind of prep. You're not traveling, and you make the change now to try and fix your season, as opposed to waiting too long, you know, a la Phoenix last year, where they just held on and held on and held on and never could quite recover. You know, it's unfortunate. It is, you know, disappointing to see him not be the coach anymore. But when you look at the health of the organization, you're still not that far off from that eighth playoff spot, that you want to make a move sooner rather than later when things are more spread out.
Let me jump to you, Brad. You've been patiently waiting, quietly waiting your turn to say what you want to say on this, and I appreciate you doing so. Thoughts? I'm just, any thought you have on this, and what were your responses to seeing, or what were your thoughts when you saw some of the responses from fans, both the positive and negative type of responses?
Yeah, I mean, so my response to how the fans were, I'm surprised that we didn't really get the chance to be all, you know, Chaplow out and whatnot. The team was actually very quick on it, getting any action through. So, you know, kudos to the team for recognizing that something needed to change. As for the actual firing out of itself, it was kind of one of those, it was going to happen with how the team was performing. And obviously I wish the best for Chaplow. He brought us a championship and he's generally a really nice guy. But something needed to change clearly. And it happened.
Of course you end right when I'm taking a bite of some food. So I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go to you really quick, Alan, because I know you don't have much time left with us. You have to go do bigger, better things. You're way better than us now. Just give us a quick, we'll talk more about Chaplow, but I do want to get a quick little like update and thoughts on San Diego and this match that's coming up this weekend before we let you go.
Yeah, I think San Diego, the way they've been playing, is not going to be a huge surprise. There's some tactical wrinkles that they can throw in there about how they use their wingbacks, but they are using actual wingbacks this year as opposed to a back four that floats into kind of a one wing back and one defender. Koke Vegas, really good with his feet, ends up being the second center back in a back four, which allows the wingbacks to get higher. And, you know, Joe Corona has kind of been a nice addition to the team. Charlie Adams, who Orange County fans are very familiar with, has also been very, very good delivering the ball. Set pieces might play a huge factor in this match, which wouldn't be a surprise for a San Diego Orange County. I think it almost always seems to come down to a nice set piece. But it'll be interesting to see how San Diego recovers. They've lost two in a row, a heartbreaking loss to Seattle in the Open Cup. And then Locomotive came in and handed them their first loss at home. So they're going to be motivated to get back on the horse. Their defending has been better, but it's still, I think, kind of the weaker spot of the team. And if this is a game to get an Olaski going, this is the one to look forward to. Obviously, Orange County fans remember Ronaldo Thomas. He's been a nice piece, but really the attacking player that's been really on a tear is Evan Conway. He's taken a step forward. And again, Orange County fans know Evan Conway as the kid who broke their heart. And he liked to score last-minute goals to break ties. But it should be a pretty fun game. You know, Orange County has a lot to prove. They have good players. They just haven't been playing well together. But San Diego, look for kind of a 3-5-2 kind of setup. They do drop back into a back four in defense, but it is a straight like wing backs, and they can either play wing backs where they stay wide and cross balls in like they did against El Paso, or they can do inverted where the guys switch play and cut in to challenge defenders. So it should be a pretty nice little challenge. It'll be fun to get this back, and we don't actually have to play each other three times this year. We only get each other twice, which is a bummer, but also I think absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think it'll be good to get this one back up and started for both teams. I think there's a bus coming up, and so I know a lot of fans really look forward to coming up to Orange County because it is a great place to watch a soccer match. Facilities are great. You guys have been oh so welcoming, ribbing aside. I know there were some issues last time, but hopefully everything goes well. I think you guys moved where the away fans are to avoid some of those familiar issues. But San Diego fans are looking forward to getting back and kind of renewing this early budding rivalry.
We're always happy to have them there, Alan.
Yeah, so there will be a bus. So now we just need to figure out how we're going to cause major traffic on I-5 so all those fans get stuck on 5 instead of making it to the stadium, right?
I got it.
You got it, Larry. Larry, you take care of that. That's your mission for this weekend. Yeah. I'll open it up to Dylan, Larry, or Brad. Do any of you have questions for Alan regarding the match before we let Alan head off and join his other podcast that he has to do tonight?
Alan, I am curious. What was the reaction? I didn't get a chance to follow. What was the reaction to San Diego getting Ronaldo Damas and knowing what he brings to their table?
I mean, I think there was a lot of excitement. There were some questions with Kyle Vassell leaving in the offseason. And so there's a lot of questions like who's going to take his place, who's going to take his place. And then word came out, why is his name escaping me? The guy went to Orange County from San Diego, and then even more questions were asked, like, why are we getting rid of two of the bigger goal scorers? And so waiting in the wings was this wonderful Haitian player through Scandinavia into San Diego. And I think a lot of people were really excited because they saw what he did against their team, right? Ronaldo Damas was a headache for a lot of players. And any team getting a player of that caliber is going to be super excited. I mean, especially if it's against you're borrowing them from a rival. Essentially, it's a double win, right? So I think a lot of people have respect for him and his play. Eric Cavillo was walking him off the field when El Paso beat San Diego, so you know that he's a well-respected teammate as well. I mean, guys, you know, like Eric Cavillo, you got to tip your hat to if he's consoling someone like Damas on the way off the pitch, you know that those guys were good teammates. And so I think it just speaks to the player as on the pitch, but also the player off the pitch. And so I think it was just really exciting to get a kid like that.
Cool.
Brad, do you have any question for Alan or?
I actually do not. It's just all nice right. Having you on, Alan.
It is indeed.
It definitely is. And I honestly, I wish it was more like we were originally planning coming on, bantering back and forth a little bit about San Diego, but obviously when big news drops, you got to sort of, you know, make some changes to the platform, but we still appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts on, you know, what happened with Orange County and the season. Really quick, I want to ask for your prediction for this match. And I will use that as my pick. So Brad, let me just make sure Brad has the.
Oh, it is not open. Hold on.
All right. So Brad's going to open it. I will get it put in later then. Alan, what's your prediction for this match? And I also need to know if Orange County scores a goal, who is scoring the first goal for Orange County?
Oh, I'm going to go 2-1 Loyal, and I think Olasky is going to get – he's going to dribble it across the top of the 18 and just bend it in like he loves to do. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, but also dreading seeing that because I know it's coming. It's coming.
Awesome. Alan, if people want to still follow you and they've lost sort of touch of where to listen to you, where to follow you, what are the, like the 10 shows that you're on, podcasts that you're on that cover the sport?
Two Balls and a Mic in the segment, Two Balls Underwood, and then USL Show, although I will not be appearing the next 2 weeks because I have meetings that overlap. But those two shows are where you can find me talking about soccer musings. And then maybe or maybe not, there'll maybe be some writing over the summer on either Two Balls, their soccer, their page, or USL Shows just teamed up with Protagonist. And so we might be doing some rotating writing for Protagonist as well.
All right, you could always write for us as well if you want, if you get the writing itch. We got
too many good people. You don't need me to throw out my drivel. You have people doing a great job here.
Thank you so much, Alan.
As always. They are great. Thank you so much. And Alan, open invitation. We still got you on the credits. You're still on our website as one of the contributors. So you're always welcome to join us until we remove that. Then you'll have to ask.
That's fair. Love you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Alan. Dylan, really quick, I'll let you share whatever thought you have. But can you just sort of imagine what was the plan behind everything? What, when they were talking about, what do we call Alan's segment? And they come up with Two Balls Underwood.
It's beautiful. I think we have a little bit of a family-friendly podcast, so I probably can't go into too much detail, but I do love that in 3 years, they used to have a pretty accurate logo based on perhaps that description, and they haven't changed. And I love those guys. They're great. So, this is my best recommendation for Two Balls Underwood.
Yeah. Like you said, great group. I remember when Alan was also doing Fairweather Pod with Chris and the Arsenal fan, and they came up to, or at least the Arsenal fan and Alan, I believe, came up to the stadium, and then one of the balls came to the stadium and talked with us. And it was actually a really fun pregame show. We did like one of our world famous pregame shows from Championship Soccer Stadium, and it was actually pretty fun.
You know, people have you names, did have your... right? Did you forget about these people's names?
I just, it's an Arsenal fan, so I'm not going to say the name, and I couldn't remember which ball came on the show. Or did they both come on the show?
Pretty sure it was Tony.
Okay, then Tony was the ball that was on our show
here, but this is wonderful.
Yeah, there we go. You raised your hand as Alan was leaving. Did you have something you wanted to say, add? Change subject. What were you raising your hand for?
I was scratching. Oh, not me.
Yeah. See, I was confused because I was blowing him a kiss, but I took too long.
Waving goodbye.
Ah, that's what he was doing. Waving goodbye. All right.
I just bad at this.
I just saw a hand like briefly, and so I wasn't focusing you at the time that you did the wave. Let's get back to the major topic here. So, Coach Richard Chaplow gone. We've now got the new coach, and I don't want to butcher names, so I'm going to hand it off to Dylan for the name, or Brad or Larry, because I don't want to ruin it. Who knows how to say the name properly? I would assume Larry, because you used to live in that area.
Carlson, right?
Okay. I just want to make sure we say it right.
Carlson. Son of Carl.
Yeah, I get the way that works. I know what you did last summer, part two, so I know how that all works. Let's get into this. So with the new coaching change, obviously I'm not anticipating a huge change in tactics.
Why not
this week?
Change everything. What has been happening is not working.
Yeah, but you need time to implement the new tactics. You might get some tweaks, but I'm not anticipating a full system change. And I don't know where Dylan just went, but I'm not anticipating a full system change in 1 week. Now there will be some changes. If not, then what's the point of it, right? But I don't anticipate a full, whole new set of tactics. Go for it, Larry. I mean, apparently Larry wants something completely different. He sounds like I did. He sounds like I did when I kept bickering about Aiden Quinn playing so deep, Coach Richard Chaplow doing that for like 8 weeks straight, and then finally, or not Richard Chaplow, Braden Cloutier doing that, and then finally he got fired, and we went on to, what happened there.
Yeah, it just... There are some things that worked really well. Like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, with Kyle, Kevin, and Alex playing in those midfield positions. Man, that was our 1-0 game where we didn't score, but Milan got the penalty. But the midfield was utterly dominant. So if you throw those three in there, and I don't know enough about tactics to be able to give a full spiel on it, but just the eye test, those three in the middle, in the midfield, get Danny back in that center defensive mid slot, and then throw those guys up front. But I mean, you can't keep just kicking the ball long over the top and praying. It doesn't work. It worked with Ronaldo. Ronaldo is a different player. Milan is not that player. Emil is not that player. Maybe Sparky McNulty is that player. We don't know. We've only seen him for 37 minutes or whatever he's played so far this year. So we have no idea. We don't know what Owen Lamb can bring to the table because he hasn't played a game yet. But just there has to be the very definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We have had the same thing going on over and over again for 34, 8, 42 games, and it hasn't worked. So something has to be different. Get some possession. Pass the ball. We are so low. The stat from the game last week showing how little we pass the ball and complete our passes. And I just watched – I was out on Saturday night – so I didn't need to watch just work. And we just could not keep the ball. And when we did have it, it was like 2-3 passes, give it away. One pass, two pass, give it away. And that's not gonna
be like is it just me or do we have some connection issues? I just wanted to make sure.
He's gone, but someone's gotta bring the energy.
It's like Max Hedrum, whatever his name was. Larry was turning into that. We get what Larry was trying to say there. So when the news broke, you know, like I said, we're all chatting on Discord, on our podcast Discord channel, and I tasked Dylan to do a scouting report on Carlson. So Dylan, provide us your scouting report and what fans should expect tactics wise from Coach Carlson.
I'm sorry, was I tasked with something today? No, did I forget?
I'm joking with you, Dylan. But do you have any, in the time that we've had, and I'll ask even Larry and Brad, has anyone actually gone and looked into like what to expect from the new coach?
Well, the weird thing.
Or can we guess what to expect?
I don't think we really can. A lot of times with assistants, we get this weird, they like to change things, right? Okay, so Chaplow was the assistant to Cloutier and completely changed the system. Other clubs in the past, you know, Ray's favorite EPL team notwithstanding, you change managers, the system probably also changes unless you just hire, the junior version or you keep the junior version of said coach that you just fired and see how that goes. So there's a big question of what Carlson's going to see in this squad. He's obviously worked with them for the last couple months, who he trusts to do what he wants to do, and who he's willing to take chances with. It's a squad of 20-odd players, so there's probably some people that don't particularly care for him and that he might not particularly care for himself. And it's kind of up to them now to stop the rot and actually start performing, because it's been a year now of underperforming, and I know injuries are kind of the excuse for last year, but there's a lot there kind of lying underneath that has to go now, and it does have to be like right now.
So for those watching the live stream, the video version of this, Larry's getting to replay his favorite game of the season or match of the season. Let me go to you really quick, Brad. Again, this is all sort of just guesswork, right, at this point, because none of us really know what we're going to expect out of Coach Carlson. None of us have seen the interaction between Coach Carlson and the players at practices or anything like that. Is there a player, Brad, that you look at that maybe this will light a little fire for them and maybe have them sort of, you know, make a run or turn things around? I would I would go back to when Chapo, you know, did his thing. I think Domus is the one that sort of benefited the most from that change, because the system was sort of built on that. Anyone that you think will benefit from a coaching change at this point?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we see more of Kyle Scott on the ball. I think he's been our best two-way player so far this season. In terms of when we give it the ball or when the opposing team has the ball, it's Kyle Scott and Kevin Partita, the two who are really fighting the more for it. And Kevin Partita being the unlucky soul who gets more cards for his actions.
Well, his actions deserve the yellow cards.
True.
Guys, yeah, I mean, as long as it doesn't turn into double yellow and a red card from that, right? I mean, I love to see the aggressiveness. Just don't accumulate too many yellows. Don't get two yellows in a match. It's not an issue unless you're conceding, giving up those yellow cards in a dangerous spot where the other team's, you know, benefiting from it with a goal or a shot on goal. I'll go to you, Larry. Is there anyone that you think, you know, from a coaching change, maybe it's not going to be good? Like, just again, we don't know what the coaching, the tactics are going to be. We don't know much about this. We're just sort of really guessing. But I mean, you're on the field. You see the players out on the pitch. Do you think there's anyone that maybe loved Chaplow's, you know, plan and what was going on and maybe is going to be disappointed if things change?
I don't think I have the expertise to speak on that. And watching the game from the sidelines is a little bit different than watching it on TV or even from up with the CLC. I know that there are things that are, I mean, right here, Marcus getting nutmegged right there. And where was Alex? Alex not playing with his head on a swivel, which is, you know, kind of something you sort of need to do last time I checked on a soccer pitch. It's just, there's a lot of bad things going on the back line. And I don't feel like Marcus and I don't feel like Foxy are at fault in regards to this. It's just silly, stupid crap happening that just shouldn't be happening. Not getting the help on the weak side is making a huge difference. Who's going to benefit from this? I hope all of us benefit from this coaching change, because none of us want to see this team end up at the bottom of the table again. We watched it last year. We don't want to see it again. We want to see success, or at least a respectable product. And I hate to sound so negative, but we haven't had, again, since November 28th of 2021, we have not put a respectable product for 90 minutes on the pitch. Just hasn't happened, unless you count the 2-5-1 victories against lower level teams and Tulsa in the U.S. Open Cup the last 2 years. There just hasn't been a lot of good there. And I'd just like to see some good.
So speaking of the Open Cup, Larry, I mean, Orange County did play against Portland last week. Was a decently close match until you get to the very end there. I think a very an emotional roller coaster for most Orange County fans who thought there was an equalizer late in the match only to be called offside. And it was a legit offside call. It wasn't a bad call when you look at the replay. And then for the weirdest of runs of play for a goalkeeper that I can remember watching. I know speaking with some people at the watch party, which again, the watch party was pretty awesome. If you didn't make it out there, you missed out on a neat little experience there. But speaking to some people, they felt like there should have been an interference call on the Portland player on that. Now, who knows? It probably still ends up Orange County loses 2-1 at that point, but that third goal really sealed it. But shouldn't Cody Cropper have jumped and tried to grab that ball regardless if he feels like there's someone interfering in the play? I'll go to you, Brad, since we haven't heard from you for a few moments here.
Yeah, can you repeat the question one more time? My apologies.
All right, I'm going to go to you, Dylan, and then he maybe will figure out this question. Go, Dylan.
Yes, Cropper should go for it. If you're the goalkeeper, I mean, basically if you're in the 18, I mean, think of what Andre Onana did for Ajax for I mean, it felt like all of that season was just running out 12, 15 yards and going for it, because you're going to get the call 9 out of 10 times, if not 10 out of the 10 times. It's going to go your way. So you might as well. But I also don't necessarily want to criticize a player for not wanting to go and potentially end up with an injury, because if you land wrong on your wrist, that could easily be the end of your career.
That is true. That is very true. Brad, so you now know sort of what the question is. Does it frustrate you at all? And I'll have to say this too. This is, again, we haven't talked much about this, but I feel like it was a really poor match for Cody Cropper. I believe it was the second goal that he actually got his both palms on, but he was like at a weird angle and didn't push the ball away from the goal. So it led to that second goal for Portland. Do you think though, specifically that interference call at the end of the, or non-interference call at the end of the match, does that frustrate you when you're watching that, or can you understand why he's not jumping for that?
I mean, I feel like there's no interference because he's not actively committed for the ball there. If he does commit, maybe you get the call. But I feel like that game, it isn't unreasonable to say that that game was fully against him. Sure, some other players didn't have good games, but I feel like he was the one who, at the end of the day, was high and dry on that roster against Portland. And moving forward to the next weekend, that would be Brent Richards against New Mexico, who got left high and dry. And one of the things I wanted to add on to the hopeful new style is hopefully we, and I've said this week in and week out, and Larry touched on it earlier, need to limit those mistakes. There have been so many mistakes this season of just giving the ball up in simple times, you know, a pass that crosses the field that gets intercepted and no one's able to recover in time. Those are where I feel like the majority of our goals have been, or at least a significant third of our goals have probably come against something that we self-inflicted ourselves with. And moving forward, you know, hopefully someone does catch fire and start scoring some goals. If it's Milan, it's Milan. If it's Emil, it's Emil. If it's some other person on this roster, that's what the two things we're missing. Nobody is finishing the goals. We can hit every crossbar in the game and call ourselves unlucky. But if we don't actually find the back of the net, eventually it's not unlucky and it's just a pattern.
And I'm just going to answer the question that our producer Andy put on the chats. You know, basically what we want to see is concede less goals and score more goals. And that's perfect there. Let's go back to that second goal. Dylan in our private chats mentioned that was the one that probably you're more disappointed on, Dylan. I want to ask you, Larry, because it's sort of goalkeeper 101 is you have to have strong hands. I teach my goalies on my teams, like I will go up to them and I will do like 2 minutes of drills where I'm just giving them hard high fives. They have their goalie gloves on and I tell them, don't let your hands bend backward at all. And actually push my hand back and make my hand bend forward. That's like goalkeeper 101 is the strength to be able to bat the ball away and not concede a goal. Is that being too harsh, that the fact that Cody sort of let that go in, or is that the more frustrating of the three conceded goals in that match for you?
That one, goal two and goal three were pretty frustrating, frankly. That particular one, that was pretty frustrating because it's one of the first things goalkeepers get taught. And, you know, Grayson had a goalkeeper coach for, you know, a number for quite a while, trying to get him, you know, confidence in there. And I mean, obviously, we're not on the pitch. We don't know what kind of velocity was on that ball. We can't see it on TV. What we could see on TV looks like a ball that should get pushed out to the side. So, you know, mistake. It happens. You don't want it to, but I kind of have put the Open Cup game against Portland in the rear view at this point. You know, the fact that it was only 3-1 probably says more about Portland not putting out their top tier players as opposed to us playing a particularly good game.
Well, what it says, though, think about this, Larry, that you said the fact that it's 3-1, right? Well, you think about it, there's two goals that should not have gone to the back of the net. So really, in the end, it should have been 1-1, and we're going into extra time with, and then potentially you hold on and you get to PKs. And then once you get to PKs, it's anyone's chance to win there. I'm not saying that's what your ultimate goal is. You should try and score the goal to take the lead. I guess that's the more disappointing point on that match is the game was there for the taking for Orange County. Orange County, Portland was handing that game to Orange County the way that the game played out, and Orange County gifted them not one but two goals to seal their loss and their elimination from the Cup, which sort of sucks. And maybe that is played a part into the decision to release Chaplow as well.
You know, coulda, woulda, shoulda is fine. I should have been 6'8" and shooting the same three-pointers I could shoot at 5'11" and doing it 35 years ago before Steph Curry was doing it, which means I would have had a very different career path and a very different life, and I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys right now. But coulda, scored.
If you were 6'8", the NBA would have let you shoot those shots because that wasn't a thing back then. You had to be small. Let's just quick talk about the San Diego match. Let's talk about the San Diego match briefly. Does anyone have any thoughts on the San Diego match? Or is this sort of, we're all just going to like go into this match not knowing what to expect, back to some positivity because maybe it'll be a change. And then after this, the next match, we now can start analyzing and figuring out what we like, what we dislike. What are your thoughts, Dylan? Do you have anything you want to share on this match?
Yeah, this is Carlson's chance to really, I think, no expectation about the result. If we go out and lose 15-0 or 15-1, but we do something different than what we've been doing for the last 56 matches, I'd say it's 56, maybe 57 matches, great. We'll figure it out after watching some film. We'll figure it out with another week of training. And we can do something else. If it's the same try and turtle back, I mean, it sounds like they're gonna press either Alex or Ryan Dogman back, probably Brent Richards back. Great, we're gonna have to figure out how to play out the middle, or we're gonna hoof it forward and hope for the best. I would like to see us just say, hey, we'll take a poor result, but actually try and figure something out, try and figure out something new. And go from there. And that's what I hope we do. This is, again, at least for me, I don't care about the result here. I just want to see something different from the team.
Brad, yeah, any thoughts on this match or anything you want to talk about before we start wrapping things up?
No, I agree with Dylan. If we lose this game and it's decidedly San Diego, I think that's the expectation. But if we lose this game and it's clear that the team is working on something different, that 5-6 weeks from now we're excited and starting to win some games, then that's different. But if we're doing the same lop the ball over the top, then why get rid of one coach, you know, and replace him with a different guy?
And especially not just get rid of one coach. I mean, get rid of a coach that's really a legend for this team, right? He's probably, if they were going to retire numbers, he would be one of the first ones that would potentially have that honor. So yeah, if you're going to just keep playing the same way, then why do that? Larry, any thoughts on the San Diego match before we wrap it up?
No, not really. I just, Dylan pretty much nailed what my thoughts are on it as well. Let's just keep our fingers crossed that the team can comport themselves well and show, you know, Show that there's some fight and show that there's some fire, and let's see a little bit something different at the end of the night.
Perfect. Let's get into our random thoughts. It can include soccer thoughts. It can include non-soccer thoughts. Mine's actually. Oh wait, yes, game picks. Thank you, Mr. Producer. That's why we have a producer on the show. We got to get our game picks in. Everyone, there's the scores. Taylor is still the top of the table for the on-air talent group. Nathan is now taking the lead with the writing team, and then the community. There are, what is it? Lucas is the top of that table, but there's five of you in double digits, which is really cool. Who wants, we already got my prediction from Mr. Allen. Mine's a 2-1 San Diego victory with Milan scoring the goal for Orange County. Larry, what's your pick?
Same. It's exactly what I was going to call. 2-1 with Milan scoring. 2-1 San Diego with Milan scoring.
By all means, if anyone wants to share what their picks are, on the chats, do so, and we'll maybe let everyone see what you got. Dylan, what's your pick?
I'm going to have to say 3-1 Orange County. 3-1 San Diego.
3-1 Orange County, unfortunately, huh? Yeah, that's no. That's the way you present that one.
This one's not going to see a change in the result. I hope we get that new manager bounce, but I'll be happy to be wrong here.
The goal scorer?
He's Milan. Milan. He'll steal your wife and your girlfriend.
All right. Brad, your pick.
I don't think Rome was built in a day, and I don't think Orange County wins the game overnight. This is, in my prediction, a 2-0 San Diego win.
So if I wasn't taking already committing to Alan's pick, I would say 2-1 Orange County. I will only say that this is part of my random thought here, right? It is too eerily similar to the last time we switched coaches mid-season. Dylan did all the hard work for me. He found out sort of the run of form in the final 10 matches. He found out the goals for, goals against, goal differentials. Very similar. We all know the next opponent for both of those times was San Diego. And last time Orange County won, I believe it was, right, a 2-1 victory for Orange County in San Diego. Or it was like a one goal victory, I think, for Orange County. So it's just too eerily similar. It has to happen like that. There's no way that it doesn't repeat itself. History repeats itself. We know that. And that's going to happen this time. Go, Larry. You're dying to say something to me.
I am. There is another similarity to this. 3 years ago, in 2021, when Cloutier was fired, the night of that game against, I believe that last game was against Tacoma. Mm-hmm. Tacoma? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Tacoma.
I was at the theater watching Hamilton. I did not get to see the game that night. Saturday night, I did not get to watch the game. I was at the theater watching Fiddler on the Roof. So both times in the last game of these coaches' careers as Orange County Soccer Club, I was at the theater. So there's one more similarity. Let's hope that it turns around like it did last time too, with all of these similarities that we have going on.
If only I could find out if there was any angry members of the front office staff for Orange County after this last match, because that would add another similarity. Because I know Cloutier's last match, there were some unhappy people in the front office because I was sitting very close to some of them. And I'm not going to share any like words that I heard or actions that I saw, but let's just say people were not the happiest. It wasn't the happiest of times for members of the front office staff, which honestly, when you get destroyed by a Tacoma team and you're aspiring for championships, it's not going to be a happy time. Let's go to random thoughts. I gave mine already. Who wants to go first? I'll let y'all pick. Dylan, go.
Speaking of Hamilton, Aaron Burr was railroaded. He should have been the protagonist. And I will forever stan him for being the one that won that duel. Hamilton sucks, guys. Seriously.
We got to get Cameron on here so we can do this debate on history here, because everyone knows
he's
Cameron.
He's going to agree with me.
Friend of the show. Well, I'm not saying he won't. I'm just saying we got to get a history expert on here. If we're talking about books, I will take your word for it, Dylan. We go to history, we got to look at Cameron because he's the history buff out of all of us. Or if it was maps, I'd bring my older son Landon on here and just he would run tables. Dylan knows this too. Dylan was witness to the map genius that my son is.
That's true. That's your random thought. Brad, your random thought.
Yeah. Airlines suck when you are up against the wall to book one.
Preach. Larry. All right.
Larry, do you have a random thought?
I do. English League Championship. We have one game to go, and we have four or five teams that could potentially get into those last two spots, playoff spots. And I'm just going to break it down super quick. Right now, Coventry sits in fifth place with 69 points. Millwall sits in sixth place with 68 points. And my Black Cats, where is it? Oh, here, it's over here on this side. Dylan, nobody cares about Luton. They're already in the playoffs. Shut up. So a Coventry loss, a Millwall loss, a Millwall tie, combined with a Sunderland win, and the Black Cats are in the playoff. Don't care about the teams that are behind because Sunderland has all of them on goal differential. So Monday is going to be super, super fun because all of these teams are basically banging head to head against each other in the last 2 hours of the English Championship. And don't forget that that promotion game, it is the most monetarily gainful game in all of soccer worldwide. It is a game that is worth £100 million or euros, whatever you want to call it. And that's a ridiculous sum of money, which if I could have been 6'8" and shooting those three pointers, I would have that in the bank. And again, I would not be talking to you people right now.
We might be better for it. let's just be one last thing I got to say, and this is hopefully I don't get anyone mad, but no one, absolutely no one should be scared of the word queer. There should be no one that is scared of that word.
Nobody.
Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of that word. I don't care the age, where you live, where you're from. That is not a word to be scared of. Correct? Correct. I want to thank everyone. Our guest, Alan, today. Of course, these fine people with me, Brad, Dylan, Larry, our producer, Andy, and then those that are part of the team that aren't on the show, but we know they do all the hard work still. Thank you all so much. The listeners, thanks for taking part in the chats. We appreciate it. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out. Oh, got it.